Our reading this evening is from St. Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus answered the scribe, "The most important is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Dear saints, how many gods do you need? It's so very, very important to hear that again and again. So when Jesus here in our gospel lesson is saying, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one, there's kind of a certain emphasis that Jesus is saying about the oneness of who God is. You know, there is, God is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You know, there's only one God. And there is an interesting sort of aspect to it, too. This is from Deuteronomy. I think Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. But it was a very famous Old Testament passage that the Jews recited over and over again. The Jews in Pittsburgh, who were some of them murdered, they would have had this passage memorized. It's called the Shema. The very first word, hear. Shema is Hebrew. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, mind. Notice that there's almost kind of a Trinitarian aspect of it too, right? So there's the oneness, but what? The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. So how often is God mentioned there? He's mentioned three times, and yet he also says is one. It's an interesting sort of aspect. So I think Jesus is, of course, teaching this, but I think he's also teaching more. I think he's teaching of the jealous nature of who God is. And that's why I kind of began the sermon with that question, right? How many gods do you need? Now, there, of course, is only one God, and that is so very important to hear, because what is our heart prone to do? So Luther says, you shall have no other gods. That's the commandment. Luther says, what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in him above all things. So What is our heart prone to fear? What is our heart prone to trust? What is our heart prone to love more than him? Right? All sorts of things, right? Family, money, fearing of death, fearing of losing of the job, fearing of losing the house, fearing of losing the spouse. You know, what does Luther say in our hymn? You know, take they our, what, wife? What, how does he begin it? Take they our wife, goods, fame, child, or spouse. You know, how awful would it be to lose any of that? And some of you have lost that, and how awful that is. And today's Reformation Day, what's another thing that we're really, really prone to trust in? We're really prone to trust in our goodness, our good works, right? The things we do, the activity that we have, the love that we give for others, the service that we can provide. Reformation was about we are saved by grace, not by works, you know. Saved by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, not by works of the law. So Jesus is getting at, I think, here, how many gods do you need? And what does he command you of him? You shall what? Love him with
all your heart,
all
mind, soul.
Yeah. Do you hear those words, that allness there? Mm-hmm. All.
All your mind, all.
All your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Why would he command that, though? You know, kind of think, don't think God is mean, right?
Well, didn't Scripture say that he's a jealous God?
Yeah.
That he wants you to do that. That's a command.
Right.
And that's his will.
Right.
So we should do it.
Right.
Or try to do it.
Right, try and do it.
As most would do half, and I'm going to give you half today and another half I give you later.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But he is commanding all of it.
An allness aspect of it, too.
You can't split it up, and you can't decide, okay, this is how much I'll give you.
Right.
He said, I want it all.
Right. What happens when you give God all your heart, and then half the heart belongs, you know, in the job? You know, what happens when you lose the job? Then your heart... is broken, right? It's lost. It's in despair, so Miss Shirley, your passage is a very helpful God. I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. Now, I think we could take that passage, because jealousy kind of has a negative connotation to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is our Lord getting at?
That we shouldn't put anybody or anything above him.
Right. And why? Why? I mean, not he absolutely commands it, but why?
Because we tend to make things our God.
Yeah, he knows we always are. We're always, I mean, what can we replace above him? And the list is countless, mm-hmm. Absolutely countless. Yeah, were you going to say something too?
Oh, really, even if we don't do it, I know we don't do it because some of us love our spouse more than we love God.
Right.
We can't part from losing him or her, but eventually we will.
Right.
But how do you get back, you know, how do you love your spouse, your family, your, you know, everything that's important or seem to be important to you? How can you not, you thank God for them, but... how can you not, you know,
right.
You know, put the, you know, you love these people so much, and you love your family and your children so much. How can I love God so much to, what, just forget about them? I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Right.
No, it's hard to do.
It's a very difficult thing to do. And of course, our Lord, who commands all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, then also says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the God who calls you to love him is, in fact, the one who gave you your spouse, and the one who gave you your children, and the one who gave you your job, and the one who gave you your house and your money. And so you are also, of course, called to love them. But you know, you kind of got it. You kind of said it. You're going to lose them. And so, like I said, and some of you have lost them. You know, and we know some who are losing their health. And we know some who are losing their minds. And we know some who have lost their money and their children and their spouses. I mean, these things you lose. What our Lord, when he wants us to hear him and to love him, he wants us to cling to the one thing that we won't what?
Lose.
That we won't lose. The one thing that we will in fact have forever. Kind of, it's the jealous nature of it is that he knows what's best. You know? He knows what's best, and we so often don't. And so he says, love me, I won't ever leave you or forsake you, and I won't ever disappoint you. I am your refuge, I am your fortress, I am your rock. All these other things will. Now Jesus, how did Jesus begin it? Because it's a fascinating sort of thing. You know, he didn't begin it with, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He began it with a very simple four-letter word that we need to note again and again. Jesus answered, verse 29, Jesus answered, the most important is what?
Hear.
I mean, and faith comes by
hearing.
I mean, and that is the only way you kind of get grounded. Like this evening, again, you're getting grounded. Your heart is getting grounded back in God alone. Your mind is getting back grounded back in God alone. Your strength is getting grounded back in God alone, who then sends you back out and says, love your neighbor as, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Sometimes, you know, there are people that have their families and things are more important than anybody else. They base it on what I can see.
Right.
And what's right around me. I don't see God. I don't see Jesus. They just talk about him or read about him and stuff. And a lot of people say, no, I need to see it so I can believe it. So they just base all their faith, trust, and everything on something that they can see.
Right.
Something that they can sit and categorize or...
Right.
You know, say, okay, this is the proof that that's there.
Right.
But they can't say, okay, we can't prove what God says. We can't prove what God did. That wasn't his doing. That was man doing. Mm-hmm. And, they just twist it all around. And then, really, to me, they're living by flesh.
Right.
And anything that they can sit there and, you know, categorize out, that's the right thing to do.
Right, yeah. They create their own little box, and they say everything kind of has to happen within this little box, even though they live daily outside of that box. I mean, you know, you can kind of begin to see love, but you don't, you know. Love is more than things you see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life is more than things you see. Beauty is more than things that you see. You know, children and the laughter and the joy. Joy is more than things that you see. You can't just... kind of add it up and say this is it. They don't live the way that they are talking about God too. They don't live that way too. And one final thing, it's kind of a important thing to note here. Verse 34, Jesus saw that he answered wisely, and he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The man is getting kind of close, but it was one of my professors that helped me see this too. What do you think Jesus is getting at here too? You know, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You know, I think we're tempted to think, you know, maybe the man is here and he's almost at the kingdom of God, or he got maybe kind of the answer a little right and he's a little off too. But my professor was like, Jesus is saying to him right there, you're staring at the kingdom when you look at me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, this man's coming to Jesus and saying, what's the great commandment? And he doesn't see that he is in fact staring at God. You are not far from the kingdom. You could reach out and touch the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is right here. You know, Jesus is constantly preaching, the kingdom of God is come. The kingdom of God is near. And who's the kingdom? He is. He is. You are not far from the kingdom of God. And this is what happens with you this evening, is you get grounded back again because the kingdom of God is, in fact, right here. You hear him, right? The kingdom's ours remaineth, as a mighty fortress said. The God of Jacob is our fortress. A beautiful text this evening, speaking about the oneness of our Lord and the command to love him with everything. And then we, in fact, hear that he has first loved us and gave himself up for us. Other thoughts from this text?
It's hard. It's a hard job.
Yes, ma'am.
It's really, really hard because you know we got to die. Our loved ones got to die. They may go before you or you may be go before them. You know, but it's hard to even think. And I think back when I lost my sister, that was hard. I lost it. I mean, I didn't look at God's promise. I didn't look at the kingdom of God. I did not, you know, just those couple of hours, I lost it. But now I see, you know, it came back to me. You know, you help me, Lord. Help me to do this, you know, and I'll do it, you know. But she dead. I can't bring her back by crying and you know, giving all my life to the moaning part. But, and now I understand because I understood then, but I just didn't expect that. You know, I thought God would heal her, you know, but he did in a way, yeah. You know. He did. He did.
Yeah. You know, we're going to sing on Sunday for all the saints, and it's going to be a beautiful service, and we're all going to cry. Because you can speak of your sister, and each of us can go around, and we could speak of your sister too, and we also have our own. You know, and it says in that hymn, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. And it's very, you know, as you kind of see, as you kind of said, I see now. I mean, the only reason you see is because you hear. You hear his promise of life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, and a very, very happy reunion that we're going to have. It'll be in our bulletin this next week. One pastor I know said, we don't cry because they're not with us. We cry because we're not yet with them. You know, we're crying for ourselves because we got the pain now. But they don't. We thank God for them. And he did heal her. And he will heal you. And it's beginning, too. And I think you realize that, too. With his kingdom present for you right now. Yeah. Well, let's rise and let's pray for everyone who's weeping, crying.
Lord, trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you,
and with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. O gracious Heavenly Father, gracious Lord Jesus Christ, and gracious Holy Spirit, you are one, and you speak to us. Help us to hear. Of the love and the grace and the peace that you have won for us in sending the Son to die on a cross, to die our death, to go through grave, and to come out victorious, not simply for himself, but for us, and for all who have gone before us in the faith. Keep our heart and our mind and our strength fully anchored upon you in all of our days, that we might begin to love you and love our neighbor as ourselves. Hear us now as we pray in fulfillment of your commandments and in hopes and in confidence of the promise that you listen for our nation, for our work, for our families and communities, and for all those that we now name with hearts and voices.
Cool name, Terry.
Gracious Lord Jesus, as you once said that you are not far from the kingdom of God, we thank you that your kingdom is here and is now, and that in this kingdom we will ever be with all who are in you. Hear our prayers for the sake of you who live and reign with Father and Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.